Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT, Three Guys Theologizing, where President Barry York, Pastor Kyle Borg, and myself, Scott Hunt, like to sit and discuss topics, ideas, thoughts that are relevant to Christianity, relevant to our world, hopefully glorifying to the Lord and instructional and thought-provoking to you, the listener. One of the things that, guys, that I really enjoy and I like is that you two, Kyle and Barry, are both pastors, and I am not. And that being the case, I get to hear what pastors think and how pastors think and what they do. You know, even when we're not recording, when we're just sitting around talking, waiting to do an episode, it's fun for me to hear what the life of a pastor is and was like, and how you go about things. And so today I thought I would kind of pick your brain a little bit and maybe hear what you have to say about a certain topic. But before we get to that, let me just ask you both, when you're asked to preach, let's say you're asked to preach at a congregation other than your own, and I know, Barry, you're not actually you are a pastor, but you're no longer in a pulpit. When you get asked to preach, how do you decide what to preach?
Well, that can be agony at times because depending on where you're going, you have to be careful what you choose to preach on because you don't want to be seen as by a congregation as coming in with an agenda. I found myself quite often, if I was just doing a one-off in a congregation, preaching on prayer because it seems like God's people always need encouragement and prayer. So I found myself doing that quite a bit. If I get a few more opportunities, like three or four times, or a congregation had me a year or two ago come and do a couple of months of sermons, I try to put together a little series. Rarely do I go through a book, obviously, although you could. I find myself sometimes preaching from a psalm because they're more self-contained. So that's what I typically do. And then every now and then I'll just think of a doctrine I'd like to address and just address a particular doctrine.
Yeah. You know, when I was a seminary student, I would ask the overseeing elders if there was a topic or a theme or a text that they thought would be particularly helpful. I'm not going to lie. I kind of stopped that practice because I remember some elders telling me, well, we can't tell you what to preach on, but we're going to tell you what not to preach. Don't come here and preach a sermon on forgiveness. We're going through a really difficult season, and nobody in this church is ready to forgive anybody else, and we don't need to hear a sermon on forgiveness. And as a seminary student, I thought, well, actually, I think that's exactly what you need to hear a sermon on, but you respect the fact that you're in a pulpit that is not your own. So with Barry, if I'm invited to preach somewhere else, it's usually more of a doctrinally based sermon in the sense that you find a text that doesn't necessarily, for me at least, need a ton of the context given. So Wilhelmus Abrakel, in his interpretation of Scripture in his Christian's Reasonable Service, says that, you know, we need to remember when we read the Scriptures that not everything requires a complex context. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, does not depend on much of a context. There's a way to understand that is universally applicable. And, you know, going off of that, and oh man, now we're probably going to get some criticism and some emails. Going off of that, I try to think through, you know, you don't want necessarily to jump into Romans chapter 6 without at least having done some legwork in Romans chapter 5. And so you try to find passages of Scripture that are easier to bear some common doctrines. And like Barry, you think through what are some things that all of us need to hear. Well, sermons on prayer are always, wherever you go, helpful. They're also the easiest ones to prick the conscience with, because that's what we try to do. No, they are the easiest ones to make people feel guilty about, which is something that you need to be very cautious with. The last time I was invited to a pulpit, I preached on preservation from the end of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. So those are some of the things. I agree a lot with what Barry said. So
I know there are some denominations, I think the go-to topic is giving, making sure you're giving enough, but I digress. I'm not here to criticize anybody on that. So one of the things I do.
I always, actually, Scott, 1 Corinthians 11 and the use of head coverings in worship is always my go-to when I'm visiting a congregation.
Well, that's what I was getting at. What, you know, why don't we preach on that? One of the things I do at home, not all the time, but I have, is gone to the catechism and just led family worship from the catechism. And I assume that most of our listeners know what a catechism is. For those who don't, it's like the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's a bunch of questions and answers that help teach doctrinal, theological things, ways for living, ways to understand the Bible, understand God. And so I use that in family worship from time to time. So let me ask you this.
Well, with that, before we jump into that question, can I just add a quick thought on that?
Sure.
So, you know, I also think, so the catechism is you ask a question and the person gives an answer. And it's a way to really systematically work your way through a body of truth. And I think it's important to recognize that that's not just some archaic form of teaching. That's not an archaic pedagogy. I think it remains an extremely useful way to learn. This isn't something that, oh, they practiced it in the 17th century. And you know, I think a lot of people, and especially when it comes to Christian truth, a lot of traditions have utilized and continue to utilize catechisms. Yeah. From the Presbyterian and Reformed traditions to the Lutheran tradition to the Roman Catholic Church, of course, has their giant, thicker than a brick catechism. But it is something that I think is still relevant in a modern world.
Yeah. And to let you in on a little secret, when you go to law school, they don't use a catechism, but they use that method. So I remember very distinctly, you get called on in class and you're required to stand up. And then the professor just starts asking you questions, question after question, and you have to give an answer. And that's how they teach. So I do see it's a very useful method. There's a movie called The Paper Chase, old movie from the 1970s that kind of illustrates how that works. But again, that's not the point of this.
Scott, was Captain America or Thor in Paper Chase, or did that predate Marvel?
If... I have no idea, Kyle. I have not seen a single Marvel comic movie, so I cannot tell you.
Okay.
I do know they're messianic in character, and I refuse to submit to the idolatry that is put on the screen.
Man, future topic right there.
So to get back to my question, as you men prepare sermons, as you think about what you should preach on, how you should preach, is there ever a time that you use the catechism as a source of material or a way to preach to the congregation? And is there a name for that? I mean, is that something that people do?
Well, it is something people do. Just as Kyle said, there are particular traditions of the church that are strong in catechetical preaching. A lot of them from the Dutch Reformed tradition. And they typically use the Lord's Day evening. Matter of fact, the Heidelberg Catechism is structured with 52 sections with the idea that in the evening of the Lord's Days that there would be sermons based on those portions of the catechism. So there is a lot of traditions that do that. Now, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, you don't see that necessarily as a standard practice throughout our denomination or in other Presbyterian bodies, but I think particularly if the person's more influenced by certain practices from the Reformation, you will see that more in place in those particular congregations of people. So with respect to my own practice, again, because I'm not preaching every week from the same pulpit, I tend to go to the catechism. Either I'm studying something in the catechism and a question and answer can say it in a concise way and I use it in the sermon, or there are times where I'll just go and take a topic that's treated in the catechism and let that drive me in terms of what I'm going to be teaching on in that particular time. I just taught a class actually at RPTS called Doctrinal Preaching or Catechetical Preaching, where I was encouraging the students to really be thinking about this, because as I thought about back on my own ministry, if I had anything to change, one of the things I would have done, especially as our church plant developed more evening services, I would have done that in a more standard way. And as I look back, that's one thing I didn't do that I wish I had done more of.
Yeah, I think, you know, to piggyback on some of what Barry has said, it's extremely popular in the Reformed tradition that hold to, for instance, the Heidelberg Catechism. And even some of our wonderful brother denominations really make it a requirement that second service on the Lord's Day is going to be a catechism sermon. And their directories for worship specify that one of them needs to be going through, for instance, the Heidelberg Catechism. I think there is definitely a place for catechetical preaching. It's interesting to hear some of Barry's regrets. In 6 years of being a pastor, I have not preach from the catechism. There's some certain pastoral reasons in my own context why I haven't done that. And I'm not in the least bit opposed to it. I actually think done correctly, it can be an extremely helpful method of preaching.
So really quick, to help the lay people out who don't fully grasp and understand sermon preparation, how you do all of that. What is catechetical preaching? I mean, at its core, if you could give a definition, what is catechetical preaching?
At its core, I would say catechetical preaching. So, for instance, the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question, what do the scriptures principally teach? The answer is the scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duties God requires of man. And if you were to do catechetical preaching, you would think through that doctrine. And I think you would go to a place in scripture that very clearly teaches that doctrine. So you could think in particular with that question, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, would be a very useful scripture to go to, and then you preach that text, but you do so in a way where you draw out the doctrine of the question. And so the scriptures principally teach what we are to believe concerning God and what duties God requires of man. And in 2 Timothy 3, as Paul is speaking of the scriptures, he says, you know, God has given these things so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And he's showing there the sufficiency of the scriptures relative to what we are to believe concerning God and the duties that he requires of us. And so catechetical preaching is going to the text, the scriptures, and demonstrating why this catechetical question and answer is biblical, and drawing out from the text the teaching of that question and answer. That's how I would say it. Barry, you've taught on it, so you're the professor. How would you better clarify?
Well, I think you've given a great definition of how I think catechetical preaching should be done. I don't think it's always done that way, but I like the way that you're basically talking about going and taking the topic of a catechism question and addressing it from a particular text of scripture. I think traditionally there are those who would do catechetical preaching more in a topical approach. So they would take the catechism answer, and maybe it's got three or four phrases and each proof text, and they would go through each of those phrases, maybe even using those as their sermon outline, and then taking the different proof texts of scripture and working through those, explaining those, teaching those, and then moving through it. And I find that approach tends more toward towards teaching than perhaps preaching from the scriptures. And for me, that approach is okay maybe in a class, but if we're talking about actually preaching in a worship service, I prefer doing what you said, Kyle, and really going into a particular text and treating that text with that particular doctrine in mind and opening up that text and showing how that doctrine comes alive. One of the things I say to my students is if you do it that way, that you can't try to treat the whole answer if it's a long answer, and you don't need to feel like you have to do the whole answer. There are times where we're just trying to emphasize particular parts of God's truth. That's really what a sermon is. And so if you're really wanting to preach, I think you got to really make sure that what's the body of your message is scripturally text-based rather than catechism text-based.
Which is a very important distinction to make. There are some traditions and brothers whom I respect a great deal who, when they go to teach catechetical preaching, you can largely keep your Bible closed. And then what they mean by catechetical preaching is we preach from the catechism.
Right.
And that even makes me, and I think I have a very broad, very generous homiletic, that is theory on preaching, but even that makes me feel a little uncomfortable when you make that the textbook, so to speak, for preaching. And I think you're right, some people begin to get a little gun-shy immediately about catechetical preaching because they think it's going to wrongly impose something on the scriptures rather than drawing out from the scriptures what is there. And that's a note of caution that's well worth thinking through. If you were going to go preach on the catechism's question and answer relative to God being three persons, you wouldn't go to Genesis chapter 40, verse 16, and the baker who's telling his dream to Joseph about three baskets of bread on his head. And suddenly impose the doctrine of the Trinity out of the three baskets of bread. And so you need to be fair and honest with what the text says. And I appreciate what you said, Barry. Sometimes that means you can't give the whole of that answer just simply by one text. And I think we need to be comfortable doing that. We need to be able to say, I can show part of this and extract the doctrine for part of it. I should not feel confined to having to do the whole of the answer, because some of the answers get much longer, especially when you get into the law of God.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I understand what you're saying, Kyle, about how not to do it. And I appreciate that. And I want to come back to that in a few minutes. But what is fundamentally the difference, Barry, between the way you use the catechism in your sermons now, how you have a topic and then you go to the catechism if it brings an answer or helps clarify something? How is that different than catechetical preaching, or is it?
Well, that's what I would call catechetical preaching. Okay. So I renamed the class. It used to be called catechetical preaching. I changed it to doctrinal preaching just to get to the idea that we're not preaching the catechism. We are preaching the Word of God. And I think there is a danger. As much as I love our Westminster Catechism, I believe it is a wonderful statement of God's truth. I can't think of a part of it that I'm going to sit here and say I disagree with. There might be a little better expression here and there that you could use, but all in all, it embodies the truth that's found in God's Word. However, both symbolically as well as very practically, if I'm sitting there preaching from the catechism, that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to be a preacher of God's Word. And so I want to make sure that I'm developing the text of Scripture for my congregation. And I would want them to see the light that the catechism both brings to the text, as well as the light that I think is in the catechism because it's based on Scripture. I want them to see that, the connection between the Scriptures and the catechism. But I don't want to be preaching with my shorter catechism open and my Bible closed, so to speak. I want to be preaching from the Word of God.
So what about the testimony, Barry? Do you teach testimonial preaching for the RP testimony?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
But we do use it. I mean, I think the part of what I teach as well is that, Paul, when he was talking about his ministry among the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he talks about how he taught them privately and house to house as well as publicly. And I think the beautiful thing about proper catechetical preaching and just bringing the life bringing the doctrines to the life of a congregation is that you have to have both. If you're just standing up on a Sabbath evening, let's say, and preaching a doctrine found in the catechism, they're hearing it there. That's a half hour of time or more, maybe 45 minutes. But they're not, it's not going to get deep in their soul, that truth. But if the congregation's working on memorizing the catechism and the pastor's active and working with young people or working with families to get the catechism in their minds and their hearts, then when it comes time to preach it, I think those two, there's a great 1-2 punch there. They work complementary fashion together to really ground people in the truth. And that's the whole purpose of a catechism. It's to help the church understand what we believe about these particular doctrines as found in the scriptures.
And not only, and I think that's so true, you know, Reformed Presbyterian churches are confessional churches. And that means we don't just believe 10 simple points of doctrine. We have a very well-developed system of doctrine that we adhere to, that we believe to be biblical. And catechetical preaching gives us the benefit of showing our congregation that, you know, what we believe is not just thrown onto the scriptures. It's really drawn out of the riches of the scriptures. But I also think, I remember sitting through, I took the Westminster Confession class that was offered at my seminary, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. Sinclair Ferguson taught it. And Sinclair Ferguson began to get into the catechisms and the role of catechisms. And what I really appreciated about what he said is he said, you know, the catechisms, whether it's the shorter catechism or larger catechism, is not only an expression of what the church believes, but it begins to serve as a framework by which we understand the scriptures. And so it actually serves to help us read and understand our Bibles better. And, you know, as a pastor, and I'm sure just as a professor and as a ruling elder, one of the biggest burdens that weigh us down is how do you teach your congregation to read the Bible well? To understand it. And I think Sinclair Ferguson brought out so nicely that that's really the point of the catechism is not just to demonstrate what do we believe as a church. It is a framework by which we begin to understand how to read the Bible.
I think that's so important. And so many churches today are trying to, we'll let you talk in a minute, Scott. Hold on just a second.
That's fine.
Or preachers.
Just put my microphone on mute. It's fine.
I'm just teasing. I think that so many churches today, they're saying, let's not use these big words or these theological terms because people don't know those terms and we want to make them feel comfortable. And I think that can ultimately be deadly because you're not helping people get grounded in the faith and grow in the faith and be discipled. I think what our approach should be is let's use a big word, but let's make sure we define it, make sure people really understand what we mean by that big word, whether it's justification, sanctification, glorification, whatever type of big word we might use. And then let's really disciple them in that word by giving them the catechism so that they really understand and have memorized what that word is, and then we build the language, the theological language of our congregation. So when that word is used in other contexts, whether they read it somewhere, hear a sermon about it, whatever, they're equipped to be able to speak the language, the theological language that God's people have been developing over hundreds of years.
So finally, I get a chance to talk. I'm joking. It's fine. How would you recommend a pastor go about this kind of preaching if he's not done any kind of catechetical preaching in the congregation? How would you encourage that to take place? What are some of the things that need to fall in line for catechetical preaching to be used in a congregation?
I'm sure Barry's going to have a very good answer to this, better than mine, because this is what he teaches. But I would say one of the things that needs to be done, and this is, you know, I'm thinking about my own pastoral context, is a little bit of legwork. Even though we're confessional churches, I think many people in our congregation still don't fully understand or maybe even appreciate the place that the catechisms might have in the life of the church. And so I do think a little bit of legwork needs to be done that your congregation understands you know, these are the standards of our church, but more than that, this is a pedagogy. This is the way that we think is useful to learn the truth. And I'm not sure that the pulpit is necessarily the best place to do that legwork. But I do think some legwork needs to be done to bring your congregation to appreciate and really value the catechism.
Barry, do you have anything to add to that?
I would say I agree with Kyle. I think that a pastor who wants to work in this area should come up with a systematic approach to it. And as I said earlier, I don't think that it's going to serve the purpose just to only address the catechism from the pulpit. I think that he should put into place some way in which he's helping his congregation grow in their knowledge of the catechism, some type of memory work, whether it's part of a family worship practice, they're encouraging the congregation, a class. We had classes at back in Indiana where the students were memorizing catechism questions and studying those. So I think that has to be in place somewhere. And then to take, and I think the Lord's Day evening service is a wonderful place for this, to take the Lord's Day evening service and lay out a plan for addressing the catechism, whether you're just going to take one question per week and go through the, for the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the 107 questions, I think could be approach. You could decide to do a section. The catechisms have outlines to them, sections to them. And so you could take certain sections and treat them for a period of time if you didn't want to try to go through the whole thing in one turn. So I think coming up with a plan, obviously, if a pastor's going to do this, he should be working with his elders and discussing what approach that they would want to take together as a congregation to best equip the church. But I do think this practice in this day and age of mushy thinking, where people are so distracted, we really need to be challenging the people of God to get the bones and the meat back into their diet so that they can stand strong in the Lord and have a clear understanding of the primary doctrines and practices of the church.
And maybe as a subtle encouragement to ruling elders, I think, if you want to encourage your pastor, feel free to encourage him to go through the catechism. You know, as a pastor, sometimes you can be a little hesitant, you know, I really want to do this, but does anybody else want to do that? And I think an encouragement from ruling elders, from fellow elders to say, you know, maybe that would be a really good, useful time for us. I think it's helpful too, you know, especially for churches that have two worship services, and maybe that's another episode, but I'm in strong support of that. It's hard to go through two books of the Bible simultaneously. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to preach through two books of the Bible simultaneously. And as congregations, it's hard to track and to follow. And I think, like Barry said, the evening worship service is a great time to begin to introduce more of this doctrinal preaching.
I think to add to that.
Well, unfortunately, that's about all the time we have.
Can I just say one quick thing?
I don't know.
Can you say it quickly?
Can you say it quickly?
Yes, I can. Just to emphasize what Kyle's saying, I think that typically, particularly I'm thinking of Reformed congregations, most men preach in a biblical theological method. They go through a book of the Bible and doctrines issue forth from that. I think catechetical or doctrinal preaching really emphasizes the systematic theology of the church. And I think this is a way to wed the two in our preaching ministry.
Kyle, do you have anything else you would like to add to the conversation?
Nope, I'm not as verbose as Barry.
And that's all right.
That's actually not true at all.
Well, that is about all the time we have for this this episode. We are glad that you were able to join us. We hope that, I really hope that this has encouraged you as listeners to consider the catechism, to maybe encourage your pastor if he's not preaching through the catechism or catechismal, I can't even say it anymore, doctrinal preaching, like Mary said, maybe to encourage that in your congregation. And as always, we would encourage you to correspond with us and let us know what you think about these topics and other topics that you might like to hear. So until next time, we do thank you for joining us here on 3GT.